series called Body Language. And last week's message was, My Body is Temple. My Body is Temple. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. The price of Jesus Christ's blood. And we're called to live for Him. We're not our own anymore to make our own choice to do what we want with our life. Oh, you can do that. That's not God's plan for your life. God is with Him. Today, we're going to look at the message, Our Church, His Body. Our Church, His Body. Okay? We are the body of Christ. We're going to see that in the message. So we're going to move to that right now. Our Church, His Body, in this series called Body Language. If you're new with us today, never been to one of our services, we'll pop all the scriptures, all the points, everything will be on the screen. Roger does some graphics work and sort of neat stuff. I really enjoy this kind of preaching. As I said, you can also click on tomorrow, sometime this week on the website, and go through the whole thing again if you'd like to. If you miss something, you have any questions, it'll be right there for you. We're here to serve. We're here to love and try to help grow in your faith. This is important to us right now. What we're about to do, preaching God's Word, is not just for me to pass time. It's really important. We spent time all week. A lot of work's gone into it. And we want God's blessing on us. Amen? And we're going to receive this today from the Lord. The body of Christ is the church. Can you say that with me? The body of Christ is the church. And we're going to look at that. And that's going to... Some of you are going, what? Well, good. Then we're going to learn. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's keep moving. It's made up of those who have personally placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's made up of those who have personally, say personally with me, personally placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The church isn't something like, oh, the universal church, or the Catholic church, or the Protestant church, or this kind of church, or that kind of church. Oh, those are all churches. But that doesn't make them the body of Christ. You're in the body of Christ when you personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's how you become part of His body. Alright, let's keep moving. See what we can learn. It's sort of a no-brainer, but let's go over. Romans 10:9. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. You need to be saved to be part of the body of Christ. You can go to a church, you can be a church member of a certain church, but that doesn't mean you're a member of His body. You become a member of His body by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, I'll do it my way. Then you can have your church, because you're not part of His church. All right? You understand what I'm saying? It's all about Him. Stop putting your faith and trust in Him if you're going to be part of His body. That's why you can't have it your way. Oh, I'll have it my way. Have it your way, but you're not going to be part of His body. It's His body. And He's going to have it His way, because guess whose body it is? It's His body. That makes good sense to me. Something else. You might say this. You might say this. Now, Grandma went to this church, and so I'm bad. Or I'm a Christian because Daddy did this. Listen. It doesn't matter who you were born to. The important thing is, have you been born again? Are you hearing me today? That's the important thing. You're not like, well, we were a good, Lutheran family. And I was born into a Lutheran family. You know, that's great and sweet. It might look nice on a card, but what does that mean? You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be ugly. But listen, are you born again? Here's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Was Nicodemus very religious, yes or no? Yes. Definitely. So just being religious isn't going to cut it, is it? Here we go. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, Verily I say unto you, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot what? See the kingdom of God. You ain't going to get close. You're not going to see it. Unless you're born again. A lot of people think this idea of being born again is some wild-eyed Christian idea that we made up some week. You know, it's great. This is Bible. This is Jesus Christ saying you need to be born again. And what does that mean? He explained it. Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, obviously to be born again, you need to have been born at least once. Amen? Amen. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this planet to be born again. And that's what this verse is saying. You need to be born of water. Yeah, you need to be born of what? But you also need to be born of the Spirit. That's being born again. That's what Jesus said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, say it with me, you must be born again. So to be part of the body of Christ, I need to be born again. I need to be born from above. I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Place my faith and trust in Him personally. It's not about what I've done, who I know, where I've been. It's about, am I a Christian? Do I believe in Christ? That makes you part of the body of Christ. For God so loved the world. Same man, same talk. Greatest verse in the Bible, maybe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. You become part of His body. You're part of the church. His church. And that's how you become part of it. Being a Christian. Let's keep moving. Well, when did the body of Christ first appear? We talk about the church being the body and we're His body. When did that first appear? Well, actually, it seemed to first appear at the Last Supper. And a lot of you will remember this. Here it is. You can go to a number of places in your Bible. I just picked Luke 22. He took bread. He gave it. Gave thanks. He broke it. And then He gave it to them saying, read that with me. This is My body, which is given for you. And then He said this. This do in remembrance of Me. That's where we start to hear about His body. And about there's some connection between His body and us. There's so much of a connection. He tells us that this is something that He did that we need to keep doing. And it was so significant because it was about His body. And we get a hint that maybe somehow we're part of His body somehow in a strange way. Let's keep looking and see what we learn. He commanded His disciples to keep the symbolic observance of communion. Man, I can't talk. Jesus commanded His disciples to keep the symbolic observance of communion. It was a command. What does communion mean? Look at it. Communion is described as intimacy. It means common interests or sharing things in common. You know, that's just a great definition of the church. His body. Intimacy. A common interest. What would it be that is the common interest that binds us together in Fellowship Church? One name. Somebody give it to me. His name is? That's our common interest. What would the common book be that we use here at the Fellowship Church? It's the Bible! God's Word! That's our common interest. That makes us the body. We have communion together in Him. We share things in common. It's our belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us our communion, that gives us our interest, our common interest, that gives us our intimacy. It's that belief in Jesus Christ. That's why as much fun as we can have, doing events and going out and doing stuff, I love that fun. Fellowship is huge in the Bible. When you read your New Testament, fellowship is so important that we do things together and grow with each other and have friendships. But I tell you what, that is not the main thing. The main thing is who? Jesus. The main book? The Bible. That's what it's all about. That is our common interest. So that, I know I'm going into a little detail, but hang in here with me. We're going to live. Come on. Let's keep moving. The cross. Here's the deal. The ground is level at the cross. Boy, that's so important. So we start talking about the body right now, the body of believers. I want to make it clear to you that the ground is level at the cross. Okay? We are all members of His body. We're going to see that this morning. We're all members of His body. You know what? There's just no big shots in the body. Did you hear me? If you had to say, who's the big shot in the body, who would it be? Jesus. Amen? The final word in the body would be what? The Bible. You hear what I'm saying? The ground's level at the cross. That's how we all came. Here's what Jesus said. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. That's huge. I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to be. I wasn't going to say this, but I am. Listen, there's nobody to be exalted like a pope. Excuse me, I know that's going to be ugly. Were you going to bow and kiss somebody's ring or something like that? That is not Bible. That is not Bible. I challenge you after the service today, I will meet you here. You show me your Bible, or use mine if you'd like, and show me that in the Bible. Would you? I challenge you. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying, anytime we get in charge of things as a man, we can add this, and we can add that, and we can add the other. Before you know it, man, we've got all kinds of crazy things going on. Are you with me or not?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be ugly or unkind. Okay? And people in places of leadership like a pope can do great things and have great influence. We're not debating that. Who's the head of the church? Jesus is the head of it. Boom! Out of the park. That's it. I don't know what happened to our life, but it's okay. It's okay. Lights go here, lights go there. It's okay. We're going to be all right. Amen? Let's hang in here. Now let's look. So we who have believed in Jesus Christ, we are His church. We are the called out ones. That's what the word church means. Ecclesia, called out ones. We've been called out of this world to be a special body for Him, to do His bidding here on this planet. We are His members. Now, we have members at Fellowship Church, but you know what? The big deal is that you're a member of His church, amen? That you're a member of Jesus Christ. You come here and you say, well, I'm not a member of Fellowship Church. That's fine. I can look down my nose. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're in Jesus. We're related, amen? That's what it's about. You know, people become a member here so they can feel a part to where they can help us with the common goal of the things that we're trying to accomplish here. I understand that. But it's not the big deal. The big deal is being a member of His body. Amen? That's the big deal. Being a member of the body of Christ. The body of believers in Jesus Christ. That is the church. That's who we are. The body of believers in Jesus Christ. Now, whew, we still ain't there. We're getting there, ain't we, brother? We're not in this physical body. Okay? Don't get spooky on me. You're not Jesus. Okay? But you're the only Jesus people are going to see. And you're the only Bible folks are going to read many times. You're important to the body of Christ. You are His body on this planet Earth doing His bidding. That leads us to the next point. And that is this. No, we're not His physical body, but we are this. We're empowered by God the Holy Spirit to accomplish His purpose on this planet. We have the Holy Spirit, the living God, who lives inside of us, who moves in us, and as we yield ourselves to Him, He will use us, He will touch people's lives through us. Has that happened in your life, say? He's done things in your life to touch somebody else, or He used other people to touch your life, and it's just God at work, and that is the body of Christ at work on planet Earth. So now, we're going to go with a message. That was part of the message, but we're going to go with three main points that I hope that I can leave you with today and you'll understand, okay? A little bit better. That's our goal. Our body, His church. Can you say that? Our church, His body. That's it. Our church, His body. One more time. Our church, His body. That's the goal of God for Fellowship Church, is that this will be His body functioning here in this area. That's not to say there are other church bodies in the area that are functioning in part of His body. But for us today, right here in this room, we're the body of Christ right here. You understand? We can't put that off on somebody else. That's us. We got to do it for Him. Let's see it. I broke it down to three things. Number one, body parts. All right? It's not going to be that hard. Body parts. And then we're going to look at body pains. Ooh, that's going to be the ugly part. And then we're going to look at body functions. Ooh, I know. You got like, ugh, what's that? All right, we're going to see. Here we go. Body parts. Let's go. There are many parts to the body. There are many parts to the body. Aren't you glad you got some of them things, sir? I am, man. There are many parts to the body of Jesus Christ. Let's go with it. Here we go. We're rolling. 1 Corinthians 12. This is Bible. We're not making up something. It's right in the Bible. As I said, click on the website later. Click it. Look it up yourself. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not what? One member, but many. And so, we're all a part of His body. 1 Corinthians 12. 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gift of healings, health, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Great verse, you ought to mark in your Bible. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Can you say that with me? Covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Just remember that. Put that right there in your noggin. We're going to get there later. I show you a more excellent way. The end of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Romans 14, 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. We need each other in this body. I talked to somebody last week. I don't need to come to church. It was funny. They were there for me to help them. They were there for counsel. But they don't need to come to church. You know what I told them? You're wrong. That's a great idea you have. That's not God's plan. Why? Because nobody lives to himself and nobody dies to himself. There have been many times, even since we started fellowship, many times I've been struggling. And maybe you couldn't tell it. But buddy, I came in here, I'm struggling. I'm going to try to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Do the right thing. Preach, stay steady. But it was coming in these doors. I knew if I came here, I'd get all kinds of help. I'd get all kinds of encouragement. And usually I'd leave that day ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Why? Because there's power in the body. Are you hearing me today? You need to be here. You need to be here for you. But you need to be here for somebody else. You can touch somebody else. God, the Holy Spirit can work in your heart to do something in His greater kind. It's so important. I don't come because it's mandatory. I got to go because Mama made me. You know, that's what we did our kid, but that's another story. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding here. But the fact is, I come because I want to come. I come to church because I want to be here. I want to be blessed. I want to get a blessing. It changes your whole attitude. So, we are the body of Christ. There are many members, but there's one head. Can you say that with me? There are many members, but there is one head. Isn't it something the hand doesn't think, does it? The foot doesn't think. Your little toe doesn't think.
Oh, I'm little toe, I think I'm going to do this.
You know what I'm saying? Your ear doesn't think. Your teeth don't think. Your head, your brain thinks. You got two of a lot of things. You got two ears, two eyes, two this, two that. You got gazillions of little genes and things running around all in you. How many brains you got? You hope. God has broken down into sides. I understand that. But you have a brain. Okay? You have a brain. Okay? Jesus is the head. You need to keep that in mind. Remember that He's the head and you're not. And I'm not the head. I'm not the head. Of His church, are you kidding me? Of the body of Christ? No. I'm a member just like you are of the body of Christ. That's going to help you. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the what? Head over all things to the church. Which is whose body? His body. The fullness of Him that filled all up. How would you like to have a body? And somebody else come up to you and tell you how you're going to do your body.
Well, you didn't do your body like that.
You know my body like that. I do my body what I want. What's my body? Well, that's what happens when we try to mock, M-O-N-K, that's a southern word, when we try to mock with the body of Christ. This is His body. He ain't going to listen to you. It's His body. We're to function. We're to do for Him. We're not to be thinking how the body's supposed to be done. He does that. Amen? Gives us His word. Keep that in mind. If you don't, here's what's going to happen. If you don't listen to what I just said, here's what's going to happen. I've seen it over and over and over and over in my life, about 22 years of ministry, which is not a ton, but it's enough to get an opinion. A big temptation is this. If you don't realize He's the head, here's what happens to you. You start assuming that everybody should be doing what you're doing, or as much as you're doing. I've heard good, godly, seasoned men and women that didn't hardly know they were doing it, putting down other people. Putting down a church because more people need to be involved. More people need to do. You know, that sounds high and mighty. Why don't you do what you're supposed to do? Say, that's ugly. But it's not our job. Well, more people need to do this, or more people. I wish somebody else was. And what we're saying at the end of the day is, I wish more people were just like me. I wish people were so out of Jesus, just like I am. Why don't you serve the Lord? Amen? I'm telling you, He is the head. If that's a concern of yours or it's on your heart, pray about it to Him. Give that to Him. But be careful that we don't fall into that snare of putting others down because we don't see what they're doing. Is it our job for us to see what everybody's doing, yes or no? Does Jesus specifically say many times the best thing is that other people don't see what we're doing? Sure He does. Does Jesus say, go pray in the street so people can hear you? Or does He say the opposite? He says the opposite. There are a lot of people doing a lot of things here at Fellowship Church that I don't know about and you don't know about. And by the way, I'm not just Fellowship Church. When somebody gets sick, it's like Pastor Clark, Fellowship Church business. Or guess what? You are the body. You are the body. And if somebody's sick and you go see them, guess what? The body showed up. Amen? That might be a simplistic way to look at things, but I believe that. I believe when you go and touch somebody, and you're with somebody, you know, and a lot of times these are people you know better than I do. You're more intimate with them than I am. You can do things with them that I can never do. You're touching them in a greater way and fulfilling the greater plan of God than for me to go by and stop for 3 minutes. Not trying to get myself off the hook. We still need to be busy and doing things, but you are the body of Christ. Alright? Keep that in mind. So body parts. Now, number two. Here we go. Number two. Y'all alright so far? I knew this was going to be the kind of message that you're going to duck every once in a while. It's just that kind of message. But why? Because this is important. The church is important. We're not here as a social club. We're not forming a clique in Englewood. I got me a red oval. You know what I mean? Hey, it's great to spread the word, build a church for God, but it's a church, it's His church, it ain't a country club. We've got a mission here. There's a purpose. My life is important to me. I want to make a difference on planet Earth for Jesus Christ. And I'd love to have lots of folks gathered together. We can make a difference in our community, in our world. Take as many people to heaven with us as we can get. Amen? Try to help restore as many marriages and help relationships. That's phenomenal. That's what I want in my life. I want to do something. Not just be in a clique. The body is important. Number two, body pain. Oh. Have you known some of them? I've met a few. Amen? Let's talk about it. Body pains. Body parts, body pains. Here it is. And aches, by the way. Here's what pains the body. Division. Division. Can you say that with me? Division. One more time. Division. Look at this. Do you think this hurt?
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that felt too good. Listen, Satan wants us to be divided. If you are sowing division, you're doing the work of your father, the devil. Don't put it off on Jesus. No, I'm doing Jesus' will. No, you're not. If you're a divisive individual, you're the servant of Satan. That's ugly, preacher man. You're not supposed to be able to preach like this and go to church. If you read all the books, you always got to be nice. Problem. I'm not nice sometimes. Sometimes you just got to say stuff. Amen? Come to the chase. Division tears up the body of Christ. Let's see what the Bible says. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I beseech you, the Apostle Paul, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak what? The same name. That there be no what? Divisions among you. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We need to be together. Let's look at some other verses. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Who's Paul writing? Some said, I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas, I'm a this, I'm a that. Sounds like a modern church. You know, Paul says, was I crucified for you? Were you baptized? I baptized you in the name of Paul. Then look, division cease. Paul says, stop it. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but hallelujah, unto us which are saved is the power of God. Amen? Stay on purpose. Stay on vision. Stay on the mark. Do what we're called to do. That's what Paul was saying. Don't be divided. 1 Corinthians 12. This is the body in the Bible. You can read it. It's talking to itself. Here it is. Watch it. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body anymore? Look at this. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Listen, you can say what you want, but if you're divisive and you are part of the body, you're hurting the body. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting the cause of Christ. Just because we say something doesn't mean we're not part of the body. You've got to be careful that we're unified. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? Think about it. If the whole body was you, where would fellowship be? If the whole body was me, where would we be? It just wouldn't work. I have to have so many people doing so many things to accomplish just a little bit of what we're trying to do. It's amazing. I marvel at the humility of the people that I serve with. And I hate to pick on them. But Karen, did you know that lady puts up with me? Can you imagine spending 1.5, 2 hours with me every single week? What kind of horrendous nightmare that must be? You know, and here she is, trained in music, knows what she's doing, yet she listens to me. You know, and I go, can't, she'll play it this way, and I'll go, but can't we do it this way? You know, and I just marvel at the humility of the talent, of the people that are serving, the people that are working. It just blows my mind. We've got, I'm just going to say it, it's all right, I'm not going to pick a bunch of names, but did you know what? I can't go around town and put posters up all over town and try to do everything else we're trying to do. I can stick up one or two. I ask you to do that if you can. But I got Joe Caminetti. It sort of makes it a ministry. Putting up posters around town. Different business facilities. That's not the easiest thing to do. That's sort of intimidating. Some of you would be intimidated by doing that, wouldn't you? You would, wouldn't you? But Joe from New York, hey, I'll break your knees. Before you sign up. We can't all be the eye. We all have different things. If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? Boy, you need to smell things, don't you? Especially if you love good food like that. Oh, hey, that smells good. You know what I mean? Look at it. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased to Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Irene Venner, play that to Irene. Irene Venner struggles. It ain't easy just to get up. It's hard. But you know what? She's here today. And somebody else has to meet her to get her here. Is that correct? Somebody meets you, puts you in a chair, brings you inside, puts you in your seat. And the thing might be, why do we need to do that for our name? She's old. She's feeble. Let me tell you something. Lady's a prayer warrior. She's a prayer warrior. She prays for Gary Clark. She prays for my son as he's away at college. Do you think we need people like that? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You hearing me what I'm talking about? That's what I'm saying. Just because somebody ain't doing what you're doing, or but stop division. Don't even go there. Do something yourself. Amen? Find what God would have you to do. But don't be critical. Nobody, I'm going to spread some news for you there. Nobody likes a critic. Nobody really likes anybody's critical. If you've got a critical spirit, I want to be a news flasher. Nobody likes your criticism. You think you do. You think we do. We don't. Now, I haven't heard a lot. I'm not trying to be edgy. That's why I can say it today real easy. But we don't like that. I'm not saying we don't want to face reality, but there is a way to face reality without being a critic or being critical. Would you agree with that? Pains in the body. Ooh. Mark 3:24, Jesus said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. A church cannot stand when there's divisiveness. And I tell you what, it just takes the joy away, doesn't it? It takes the joy away. It takes the joy of the preacher away. I know that. When you're having to till hard ground every week and you're getting criticized and having a roast preacher after lunch or around the lunch table. You know, I welcome you to have a roast preacher if you'd like to around your table. Invite me. I'd love to get in it with you. Yeah. That's craziness. Don't even go there. It's crazy. If you're not happy with the church you're in, leave. If you're in a church that's not teaching the Bible and they've gone the other way, find one that is. You know what I'm saying? If you can make change, make it. But if you keep hitting the wall, go on with your life. Make a difference while you're on this planet for the glory of God. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying. These things I will now affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law. They're unprofitable and insanity. A man that's a heretic, that word means divisive, after the first and second admonition, rejected. You got somebody that's always divisive, after you try to work with him a couple of times, forget him. You're not ever going to accomplish your ministry on this planet if you just keep doing that. That's what the Bible teaches. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinner, being condemned of himself. Division, pain in the body, hate. Wow, there's a lot of stuff on it, isn't there? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master extends the fall. Who is the master? Somebody tell me. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you set it not, thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of who? Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to who? To me, he says. Every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. What would the world be different if our concern was, instead of being divisive, our concern was for our brother, that we wouldn't cause him to fall or slip up. That'd be good. Our church, his body. We could preach forever just on that topic right there. But we got to keep moving. Here's the last thing, body functions. And we're almost out of time. Roger, we got to fly. You up in sync, and I'm out. What is the function of the body? I need you to help me here. What is the function of the body? What is the function of... What is the church supposed to do? Here it is. Five things. Five things. Number one, say them with me if you don't mind. We are to
love each other.
We're to love each other. What is the church all about, preacher man? It's about loving each other and loving lost people. That is the function of the church. Remember what I said before? Seek the best gift. I tell you a more excellent way, the Apostle Paul said. The thing that the very next verse was chapter 13, verse 1. You know what? The church is full today, especially on TV. When you turn Christian TV, everybody getting this gift. Everybody wanting this one or two gifts. And it's usually these gifts that heal people or talk in tongues. Did you know what a more excellent gift is? A whole chapter was written on it right here. Right here. Why don't you read it with me? Here we go. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, say love with me, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Watch it. And though I have the gift of prophecy, you have to keep reading, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned. Sounds crazy. And have not love, it profits me That thing, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. What do you think the best gift is? What do you think the more excellent way is for the church of the living God? I think love, friend. That's our calling, is to love each other. He that loves not God, he that loveth not, knows not God, for God is love. Think what the Bible says. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he ain't seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. What's the function of the church? Number one, we're to love each other. Let's look at another one. Wow, we're about out of time. We're to promote unity among each other. Did you know that is your calling? Instead of having your ear bent with gossip, your calling is to promote unity. You do not have to be a person that listens to gossip, because when people start to find out you don't listen to it, they won't take it. And you're going to be on the outside. That's a good place to be, amen? Leave me in the cold. That's where I want to be. I don't hear that mess. Promote unity! He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the what? Unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no children. You know, church isn't a place to just really act like kids. Crazy. It's great for kids. It's great for all ages. But we need to act like mature Christians. It's not a place. Gossiping and dividing might be fun, but it's not mature. It's very immature. I don't care how many things you've done in your life, how many things you've served on. If you're gossip, you're very immature. You should promote unity. We don't want to be like children tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, by the cunning crafters, whereby they waited life way to the sea. Speak the truth in love, that we may grow up into him all things which is the head of Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted. Every joint supplies working effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Or in him. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God has created true righteousness and true holiness. Man, there's a lot of scripture. Put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. We're members of one another. Be angry and sin not. That doesn't mean I'm going to get ticked off every once in a while. But don't go down that path. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. One of my daughter's favorite verses. Would you say it with me? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. What's the job of the church? To love? To promote unity. Unity doesn't happen. It's a job. It's a job. I'm going to promote unity. Do that. Do that. It's something that's active. It's an action thing. We don't think of that many times. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. Let's keep moving, Rod. You've got to skip along here. Some other verses. Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, condescend to one another. The third thing today, wow, we're to serve the Lord. What's the function of the body? To serve the Lord. We know this verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As we continue on, 4-8, check it out. There are many members in the body, but they don't have the same office. We're one body. Every one member is one of another. We have gifts that are different from one another. Keep moving. Whether ministry or whether exhorting, whatever. Do it with cheerfulness. That's what the Bible says. We're not to be slothful, but fervent in spirit. We're to serve the Lord. That's the function of the church. That's what we're to be about. Number four, we're to witness to others. Three scriptures. Matthew 28. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8. He said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, So we are to, we're going to hold up just a second, we're to witness for the Lord. That's the purpose of the church, to share our faith. That's what we're to do. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation, everyone that believes. The last thing, the church, that we put up this morning, can you say that with me? We are to worship the Lord. Did you know that's part of the body today? Why do they sing those songs? I just want to hear more of the Word. That sounds really neat. That's been divisive. Part of this is to worship Him. Did you know that? You know He likes to worship? You know He likes it when we sing songs, I believe, that praise His name? Did you know He just might like that? You see what I mean? It's important. We're to worship Him. That's why we're here. The body. Who's going to worship Him if the church doesn't? Amen? That's why we're here. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. Because He loved me, I want to love Him back. I want to worship Him. That's something that's put in me by the Holy Spirit. And I want to do that. That's part of the church. I want to close out today with two psalms. And we're done, believe it or not. Psalm 92. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to His name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, thy faithfulness every night. Oh, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp of a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy word. I will triumph in the work of thy hands, God. Oh, Lord, how great are your works. Thy thoughts are very deep. Can you feel worship when you read that? Oh, worship the Lord. Look at this one. And we're done. Worship is part of what we're to do here at Fellowship. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, not me. It is He that has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We're to come in this place thankful. Amen. That we got a body that God's still given us. And whether it's Irene and somebody has to pick her up and roll her in here, you're thankful, aren't you, ma'am? She's so grateful that she'd come and worship, get out of the house, and be here with God's people. That's the attitude we come into when we come in to worship God. Enter His courts of praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. Oh, somebody might think ill of me. Don't worry about it. Amen? Bless His name. Because that's what really matters, Him. For the Lord is good, hallelujah. Has the Lord been good to you, son? The Lord is good to me. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. That's the purpose of the body, the function of the body. We're to love. We're to promote unity. We're to serve. We're to witness, and we're to worship. Amen? Let's stand.